Okay, we're on to part five here, and I think we're doing pretty good, making good pace here to correct things, clarify, get to the truth for the glory of God. Let's keep going.
Again, holiness and obedience to scriptures, not to a bishop, and enduring in the faith. And the big problem, this all came to a head with your contract.
All right, here's where we talk about the contract, and this is really where Mark went over the top as being a cult-like group. He came up with a contract you have to sign to take communion there, and it caused Jeremy Slatton to leave. His wife is still being harbored by Mark Bullen even after she recommitted to him in marriage again. Jeremy wanted to leave and go off on his own, like Mark did when he left the Baptists and the Mennonites. But Mark's a big hypocrite because he can leave and take his family and go off on his own. But I can't do that. Jeremy can't do that. Mark's a hypocrite. And so the contract really stirred up a lot of trouble. That's how I got to meet Randall talk to Randall, who is a worldly man, and I'm not united to him. And Jeremy Slatton, who I'm not united to him either. They're both terrible fruit of Mark Bullen's program system. The point is, the contract gives your submission to LFCF rules and regulations, not the Word of God. Nowhere does the Bible promote that. And Nathan and I are going to get into that and listen to the foolishness of why they needed a contract. I want you to hear this again. Listen to this.
Contact me and they said, we see you were exposing Mark long before the contract. Oh yeah, I didn't just get on him because of that.
There wasn't anything wrong with that. It wasn't a contract.
Really? It's on my website. You know the contract.
Maybe I could explain something.
And it says my allegiance must go to Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
If I remember correctly, it doesn't say those.
All right, here I use the word allegiance. It doesn't actually say allegiance. It says submission. So it's the same mindset. You're signing a document that says that you're giving your submission to LFCF rules and regulations, not the Word of God, not Christ. And that's what Mark demands, that you submit fully to him as the chairman of the board, and it's his way or the highway. Even when he's shown that it's not biblical, I've shown him, he rejects it. He goes down to name-calling, ad hominem attacks, and he just says, you're unteachable. Really, I wonder if the Baptists call Mark unteachable. Actually, Mark has called me a donkey in email because I wouldn't listen to his lies. Do you know what he said in an audio? That the Baptists and the Mennonites called him a donkey years ago when he wouldn't listen to them. Mark has become what he ran from, lording over heretical false men. That's what Mark Bullen has become. But let's keep going in this audio.
Say those exact words, okay? If I remember correctly.
7 points. You will agree with not the Word of God, but with the doctrines of Living Faith Christian Fellowship. You want me to pull it up and show it to you?
I'll pull it up and show it to you.
It's right on my website.
Let me help you understand how that came about.
Okay, so to be clear, it gets you to submit and give your devotion to the doctrines of LFCF, not the Word of God. And let me show you why this is so dangerous. So today you're told to sign a contract to agree with the doctrines of Living Faith Christian Fellowship. What happens if they change the doctrines tomorrow? The Word of God is unchanging. Mark Bullen is ever-changing, right? I could be ever-changing. Why would you sign a contract to something so temporal as the doctrines of a man-made cult religious body versus giving your verbal allegiance, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, Jesus said, to the Word of God, the authority of God, and to Jesus Christ. Totally heretical, foolish, false. And listen to Nathan try to explain it all away. It gets pretty ridiculous.
It came about right.
I don't need to know how it came about. I know how it came about.
It's important to know.
You had division in the body, and it sounds like your father, if I could say, wasn't man enough to take people on the side, counsel them over the years, and do Matthew 18 discipline. Well, it sounds like you guys don't have much going on other than Sunday and Wednesday church.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, and I say that because, as I said to you in one of the other parts, Jeremy Slatton, Randall, Jeff Wallace, to my knowledge, they were not taken on the side and given biblical discipline, church discipline, Matthew 18, then brought before other brothers and brought before the body. No, Mark always just lets things go on and on and on, and then comes up with a document Ready? To cover secret sin. Yeah, that's what he's going to talk about. Here we go.
Maybe I could help you understand it. So there were some people going, doing things in our church that were sneaking, okay? The authority did not know about it. But we knew that there was sin going on in the church. We were suspicious that there...
Okay, so right there. People were doing stuff that the authorities didn't know about, but we knew something was going on. Does that sound confusing to you? So if you know sin is going on, why don't you deal with it? If you don't know sin is going on, how would you know something's going on? I'm confused already. Let's keep going. More confusion from Living Faith Christian Fellowship. Nathan Bullen, who teaches there and is Mark's son. This guy has been trained by Bishop Bullen.
That there was sin going on because of some of the attitudes and some of the things that we were hearing. It was not good reports. And so we did not have anything specific. Things that were done specifically were taken directly to the person by the authority and with witnesses. It was dealt with a...
And again, I'm going to say right there, per the eyewitness testimony of all the people I've talked to that were in that body, they said that never happened. So who's lying? Nathan or them? They said church discipline was not used on them. More lies, more confusion. Let's keep going.
With appropriately. But there was still...
Dealt with appropriately?
Well...
So was Matthew 18 done?
Yes.
Really?
And
not according to Jeremy Slatton and Randall Tarrant.
Jeremy Slatton and Randall
Tarrant. Jeremy Slatton's with you now, so is he lying?
Jeremy Slatton would say that he was lying. He was dishonest about...
So Jeremy Slatton was with them at that time. He's since left them. Randall left them way back in October, I think, of 2018. So now, how convenient to say they were just lying. Do you see all the lies and the confusion going on, all fruit of this corrupt cult-like program overseen by Diatrophies Mark Bullen? Let's keep going.
Of course he will, because he's back at the establishment.
What happened where it was, there was things that were being snuck and done that we were not aware of. Now that can happen.
Nathan, you're wasting your breath. You know what? Your breath. You know why? Because no matter what reason you did this, it is not biblical to have a contract to sign. So if you're telling me, if I said, well, we want to come join Living Faith Christian Fellowship and unite, I'm already united to Christ. You can't find sin in my life.
Here's a piece of paper you got to sign before we take communion with you.
It's part of keeping
chapter and verse in the Bible.
It's part of keeping
this body. This is absolutely ludicrous. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11? I'm going
to
test you.
All right, so once again, Mark Bullen likes to say that they keep the first century apostolic ways. Did they sign any contracts that I'm aware of, chapter and verse in the Bible? I don't see it. I don't see it happening anywhere. It's Mark Bullen's added layer to root out people he wanted to get rid of. Randall Tarrant had trouble in his family that was causing trouble, and Mark Bullen had trouble in his people that was causing trouble. He wanted the troublemakers gone. Rather than deal with it biblically, he cowardly uses a contract to root people out. How wicked and sinful. Let's keep going.
Test you guys again. Your dad is so adamant about the Lord's Supper, keeping it clean, and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the Lord's Supper mentioned, first of all? In the Bible. Yep. And where else?
Well, when Jesus with the disciples at Last Supper.
There. Matthew 26. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 11.
Yeah, I want to bring this up because Mark said this contract was needed to keep people, keep his communion clean. Who does the Bible say, you're going to see it, who's supposed to examine who to make sure the communion is clean? I discussed that right here.
Keeping the body clean. Does Paul address the elders and say, now all you elders, you examine everybody and you make sure that they have no sin in them before they can come and they can take the Lord's Supper? Is that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11? No. Wait, do I know?
So right there, they admit Paul doesn't say the elders and the bishops are supposed to, by the way, they're multiple, never one man. They're supposed to cleanse everybody and make sure they're clean. And you'll see, they later admit, the young men admit, no, you can't know my heart. You can't know my sins. That's between me and God. Listen, this gets really pathetic.
Do I know your heart?
No.
Do I know your secret sins? Do you know mine? Could your bishop know your secret sins?
No.
says, let each man examine himself.
That's what daddy did. That's what my dad did.
So there Nathan says, that's what daddy did. So the Bible says, let each man examine himself before he takes the Lord's Supper. And they say the bishop's got to examine everybody and make sure that you can take the Lord's Supper. No, the truth is, folks, if you use Matthew 18 church discipline, discipline in the body, no one will get close to the Lord's Supper in the body to take it in a wrong manner. They'll already be put out, like the guy in sexual sin in 1 Corinthians 5. But see, Mark Bolan is mixing everybody that's fleshly, worldly, carnal, compromised, most of them not born again. They're all mixed together. So now he's trying to patch together this thing to keep the communion clean when it's not found anywhere in God's word. It's a man-made system and doctrine that Jesus said, void your worship. It's wicked and sinful. Let's keep going.
It's because the bishop didn't know all their secret sins.
Let each man...
Did you catch that? The bishop didn't know about their secret sins. So you got to sign a piece of paper to cover your secret sins that the bishop doesn't know about. Is that in any way going to stop somebody from doing secret sins? If it would stop people from doing sin, why didn't God institute us signing a contract? How foolish and ridiculous. And Nathan's a teacher at LFCF trained by lording over Mark Bolan. How pathetic. We'll keep going.
Examine himself.
But it also gives authority to the leadership of the church is also responsible for keeping the candlestick.
If there's sin, we already covered Matthew 18.
Yep, so the elders have authority to keep sinful men out of the body, but it's not at the time when they're at the Lord's table. It's way before that when they shouldn't even be allowed to stay in the body. Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians 5, Romans 16, 17. 2 Thess 3, where he says, don't even eat with a lazy man. Mark Bolan doesn't do that. He's keeping his own false ways.
18, they shouldn't even be in the body.
But what if there's secret sins that he doesn't know about?
Then how...
secret sins that nobody knows about. Again, I'm confused. If they're secret, how do you know they're sinning? Can somebody at LFCF explain this to me? Secret sins that we know about have to be dealt with via a contract. So you can sign it, so then I'm confused. Absolutely heretical. This is cult-like, where they've trained these people to accept whatever Mark Bolan says, even when it's far outside of God's word. I fear for these people. They're headed down a dangerous path. That's why I'm contending for the faith once delivered. Let's keep going.
Then how would your dad know to keep the communion clean if they're secret?
Okay, so then he gives him a paper that says, if you...
This covers secrets in now? Oh,
yes.
Come on, Nathan.
Yes, it does. Listen,
now we're into Christian mysticism. We're covering secret sins with a contract. So let me get this...
You see how foolish this is, folks? Paul says, let each man examine himself. It's between you and God. And Mark Bolan, like he steps between a husband and a wife with Jeremy and Pauline Slatton, harboring her when she should be submissive and obeying her husband, who she committed to for a second time just recently. And by the way, Nathan's wife said she'll go anywhere he goes. I guess that's only when you're the bishop's son, huh? Every other husband gets to have his wife taken away from him by Mark Bolan. But Mark goes over God's authority, over God's traditions, over what God has ordained, and doesn't leave it to each person to examine himself if you don't see sin in them. Now Mark is delving for secret sin. How wicked and lording over of him. Let's keep going.
Let me get this straight. I'm going to hide sin on my leaders, but they think me signing a piece of paper is going to make me honest.
It makes you responsible.
You can't be serious.
It's useless.
Outside of Scripture, I reject it.
Okay.
It's a mark. You guys are all Bolanites. I'm going to start pushing the Bolanite label because I see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing this. If you type in Bolanites of Missouri, my website comes up number one that exposes them. Like the Mennonites, like the Amish, like the Hutterites, this group is headed towards a cult standing with one man lording over and leading, instituting ungodly, unbiblical things like his contract, like his program. So I'm going to call them what they are. They're not godly, biblical, born-again saints. They're cultish Bolanites, and I want people to know that so they don't go there and be swept away in his heresy.
And so in your
years to come, your dad will probably love this, but it's going to be a stain on him. They're going to remember the Bulla Knights. Okay? Because your dad is, I've heard a lot of Anabaptists already that I disagree with, saying Mark Bullen is way over the top with his contract. He's way over the top on many things. And I agree with them on that. I don't agree. I'm not united to the Anabaptists.
You haven't quite let me finish what I was.
I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about your contract. You can't justify it.
Okay.
So send it to me in an email on that. I'll talk to you about anything else. I don't want to hear about
you. By the way, there you go. You'll hear later I make an offer to set up a meeting. Nathan has yet to email me any refuting, any correction. And he told me I'm slandering and falsely accusing. He hasn't sent me one proof of evidence of that anywhere. This is why Nathan Bullen's not a nice man. He's not a truthful man. He's a liar and he's a slanderer himself. And I'm going to expose him because of that so people know he's standing up for a corrupt, wicked, false, heretical system, lying about a biblical ministry, lying about another man's ministry. He needs to be called out for that because he's defending his daddy so he can stay in LFCF and inherit what his dad has. Wicked, sinful, corrupt, and partiality. Go read 1 Timothy 5. God hates partiality. Let's keep going.
What's contract?
Well, because there's good reasons for it.
Send it to me in an email.
It's having them testify before God Almighty that they're being open and honest before the church and not hiding sin. That was the essence of it.
There's no signed contract in the New Testament body of Christ.
That was them.
You lose. It's a Mark Bullen rule.
No, but there is people who have to answer before God.
I'll answer before God for my secret sins. I won't answer to Mark Bullen by a secret paper.
Call God to witness that you're being...
So there you go. Mark Bullen has them convinced he needs to know about every secret sin because he's going to answer to God. You really think God's going to hold another man accountable for another man's secret sin? If that's the case, Mark Bullen's doomed because you just heard his men admit they don't know what's in their hearts. He can't know what's in their hearts, what's in their minds. So they could all be lusting in their hearts and minds. Mark doesn't know it. And he's going to be condemned before God. Mark has a corrupt, false gospel. His hope is not in Jesus Christ and his own faith and walk. His hope is in a program, a false program, that's going to damn him before a holy God. Let's keep going. We're almost at the end of part 5.
Being faithful to the body is all that was supposed to be.
Know what that is?
And it says that
that's
you can leave.
That's cult control.
No, because it
it's
said
it's cult control. You guys, your father, have any of you guys seen my testing? You should look it up. Don'tperish.com, Unbiblical Teachers blog. Look under Mark Bullen. It's all over there. In one sermon, Mark Bullen, in I think it was a 58-minute sermon, used the word program 53 times.
Yeah.
Did you hear Nathan say, yeah, he agreed with that. And it's true. And I've got it right on the testing. You know, it's interesting. Ever since I've gotten on Mark, and it's all over the internet, how he's programming people with his program, he doesn't use the word program as much. Sometimes he uses it, but he's pulled away from that. And he's actually started using words like born again, the gospel, the love of God. And this is what happens when false, heretical, lying men get called out to the truth. Sometimes they try to slap the truth on it to make them look good. That's what Satan does. He uses truth and the word of God to keep covering up his sin and deception. Because if that was not true, Mark Bullen would publicly repent of what he has wrong, fix it, correct it. Hey, step down as the chief executive or the chairman of the board of the body of Christ and just be a servant and hold fast to the biblical gospel. Nope, he's got too much pride. He's going down with his program ship, and that's pretty sad. Let's keep going.
He's programming you guys. Yes, he is.
Actually, Nathan says, no, he's not programming us. Actually, in Mark's writings, and we put it right on our website, in his books, he says he needs to program you. Yep. It's all about, he wants to program you. You got to be in the program. You got to be conditioned. And it's your only hope of salvation is him and his body with a bishop over you in church on Sunday. And if he puts you out, you lose your hope of salvation. Yeah, I prove it all. Hey, we're going to go on to part 5. Stay tuned.